The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues, Etc., regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040.
As we commemorate the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, it's more important than ever to commit ourselves to protecting these basic rights.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens?
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law.
She said, "Oh, Reverend, what can I do? My husband has started to drink." And the preacher looked at her and said, "Madam, if I was married to you, I'd start to drink too."
Oh, my.
Washington jet drivers love Issues, Etc.
Now, I'm no expert in matters military. I find it somewhat fascinating, but there is something, and maybe you're like me, maybe you're not. There's something that just doesn't seem right. I'm going totally on kind of a gut reaction, an intuitive reaction. There's something that doesn't seem right when I hear this last week, the announcement shortly after the inauguration of President Obama, the Pentagon's announcement that the long-coming, long-argued, long-lobbied-for women in combat was going to become a reality. It just didn't seem right. Now, I can't put my finger on why that doesn't seem right, but it doesn't. And I could probably sit down and try and articulate it and say, what is it that seems wrong about that? Women in combat doesn't sound right, does it? Many people believe it is right. How did we get to this point? And is it a symptom of an even bigger problem? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about women in combat here in the first few minutes of the program with Pastor William Foy. He's author of a recent article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Women in Combat. The law has been changed, but the original question must still be answered. And then we're going to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four sound bites. You vote, you call, you email, and you get to pick Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. And we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad to the best vote during Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Pastor William Foy is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Valparaiso, Indiana, a former officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and author of that article I just mentioned, Women in Combat. The law has been changed, but the original question must still be answered. Pastor Foy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
You call this decision taken recently to finally permit women to be attached to combat units, you call it a thoughtless capitulation. What do you mean by that?
I believe that we have not seriously considered the implications of mixing, one, men and women together, potentially in harm's way, before an enemy who would like to kill them all. Nor do I think we have had the honest consideration of women in combat at all, considering not necessarily physical limitations, but some biological and physiological limitations that would immediately compromise the combat readiness of the units to which they may be attached. And I think that in the lack of genuine or honest conversation about that, there are those who have just said, well, okay, we'll open the door to one more thing that now truly does compromise the combat readiness of our troops, men and women, and our ability to effectively do what we send our military to do, which is to exercise the ultimate political will of the American people.
So in your opinion, what in the military culture, I guess, and that can't be viewed apart from the broader American culture, what's driving this decision. And it's been one that's been long in coming and long advocated for, to put women in harm's way in a military capacity.
Well, I think that historically, we must go right to the opening chapters of Holy Scripture. I mean, Adam capitulated to his failure to protect Eve. You know, he's standing there and allows the serpent to whisper into her ears and to lead her astray, and he does nothing to prevent this. So it's not a new thing for men. Maleness to capitulate the protection and the care and the keeping and the sacrifice for women, which God has commanded for man to do. And I think that in the military culture, even as we see within the church, not necessarily the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but the broader church, where we've, you know, opened the barn door, if you will, and allowed certain things to occur, well, it's now pretty difficult to say, well, we won't let it go any further. For instance, the ordination of women in some church bodies, well, now it's pretty hard to close the door and say, well, we won't ordain homosexuals. Well, in the military, we said long ago, okay, we'll let women into the military. Well, the natural inclination of human nature is to say, gee, I want to ascend to the highest echelons of that particular thing of which I'm allowed to do. And so rather than ever reevaluating that decision, we've just allowed it to continue to march forward to what would appear to be a logical conclusion, which is to allow women to occupy all vocations within the United States military and do all things that they allow men to do. And this has been a conversation that has really, because of political correctness, at least in my time, back in the 80s and 90s, never actually spoke honestly of the true limit, not only limitations of women biologically, physiologically in a war circumstance, but also some of the things that just naturally occur with men and women, young men and women especially in harm's way, that will continue to denigrate combat readiness of the various military groups. That was experienced certainly in large portion when I was in Saudi Arabia in 1989 with the units that had females present. In many, many cases, their combat readiness dropped by over 50%. Because a number of those women became pregnant, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and thus pregnant, they were now removed from the combat environment with no replacements, certainly never readily available, and so the combat effectiveness of the unit is degraded. And, you know, if these things happen in a combat unit, you have even a greater problem that the men now have to take on more responsibility or do more things or don't have the fighting companion at their side because they've been removed.
So you say that there's an original question here, and you just alluded to it, that probably should have been answered and considered far more carefully than should women engage in combat, and that is, should women serve in the military at all? Talk about that question.
Well, I think it becomes probably one of the preeminent questions that should have been of our time that has again probably been just capitulated because it's not an easy one, and I believe it stems from the fact, if I can digress just to even our church circumstance, where in response to my article that I wrote on the Steadfast Lutherans, many went immediately to women's suffrage and the Missouri Synod position of capitulation to suffrage for women in the church that some congregations have embraced and some have not. And there are those who would like to have that eradicated and turned back, which is fine. However, our problem is that, and I've been faced with that here in my own congregation, that our problem is that men don't want to first assume the responsibility and the headship of doing the things that they must do to lead and to fill those positions of responsibility and not only of authority, but also of responsibility in doing the work. and yet they want to have all of the authority. And I think we have that problem within the military, where many have capitulated doing certain things, and because we've opened the door in the private sector for women to do certain things, which they do very well, mind you, not because they're unintelligent or physically incapable, then we have gone to where we've men have said, okay, well, we'll allow for that because we can't recruit enough men, so we'll let women do these things rather than thinking, well, then maybe we should shrink our military or change the benefits we have to our military to entice more men in, or we should change our strategies. Instead, we've just said, well, let's just fill these positions and allow women in. Well, once you do that, now you have the push that says, well, if I can do that, why can't I do this? And if I can do this, then why can't I do the other thing? And so it really is, I believe, that we as men have abdicated from our position of responsibility, although we like to retain the authority, and we don't sacrifice ourselves for our bride or our daughters or our mothers, however you'd like to extend that, as we should and as Christ has for his church. And thus, if you're not sacrificing for and providing for and doing for and giving the security for the bride is going to endeavor to take some of those responsibilities onto themselves, feeling they must be accomplished.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Foy on Women in Combat. It's Friday afternoon, February the 1st. Pastor Foy is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Valparaiso, Indiana. He's a former officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's authored an article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Women in Combat: The Law Has Been Changed, But the Original Question Must Still Be Answered. We'll continue our conversation with him into the next segment and then on a little bit more, and then we're going to play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, or you can listen to those soundbites and vote in advance and find out how to vote at our website, issuesetc.org. They're all there to listen to and to vote for, and Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week comes up in about 20 minutes. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc.: the Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
when God sees you, he doesn't see you as that woman who had the abortion or that man who paid for the abortion. He sees you exactly as he sees the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased.
You stop this whole teaching and confessing and believing the Holy Trinity, and you migrate towards more of trying to feel the presence of God rather than gathering into the presence of God, learning to confess the God in which you believe in.
You know, they got a public relations disaster on their hands. I mean, they are trying to portray Islam as benign, as peaceful, as fitting easily into the American separation of religion and state.
Well, Planned Parenthood is 5 for 5. You couldn't have done it better.
Just a taste of the 4 sound bites that we have to play for you when we play Issues Etc. Sound bite of the week in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. A little game we like to play where you listen and then you vote, and your vote gets to pick Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. In the meantime, we're talking women in combat. Pastor William Foy is our guest. Well, we've discussed it from several different angles, Pastor Foy. I'm concerned about the general cultural influences. I'm sure you are as well. What are your pastoral concerns about the culture as it influences both the church and the military when it comes to issues like women in combat?
Well, I think first and foremost, my pastoral concerns are that the profound gift that God has given to woman, to although man is involved in procreation, but woman even in a more intimate way, to be a part of procreation and to have identity, profound, you know, wonderful God-given identity in motherhood, where we see, you know, multiple times in Holy Scripture the women who lament because they're barren, and struggle with those things and the ridicule that comes, but the great joy when that burden is lifted, you know, Hannah, Elizabeth, Sarah, to name a few. We have, as a culture, and I think that one of the things I speak of in the article that I wrote is that, you know, because of this culture of death, of abortion and the Holocaust of abortion and the teaching of evolution now for a long time, we have removed from, especially from the sight of women, this beautiful, God-given, unique vocation of motherhood. And so my concern as a pastor, where we regularly talk about, you know, the declining roles within the church and things, I think even President Harrison has addressed that. He says, so have more children. It's not necessarily about going out always and just converting the pagans. It's about having more children. Let's fill the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is filled with, you know, the baptized children of God. So we've lost, I think women have lost an understanding of the profound holy identity, if you will, in the gift of motherhood and the gift of raising children, the profoundly difficult job of raising children. My wife is a homeschool mother of 3. It's very, very difficult, absolutely, but the profound gift that it is. And so women are looking for identity in all manner of other kinds of things. And our culture, as you well know, our culture will be happy to tell them what identity they should assume. They need to look like the supermodel, the girl in the beer commercial, as we're going to watch the Super Bowl this weekend. They got to be like the GoDaddy girl or whatever else, and that's what your identity is. And if everybody doesn't seek you out in that kind of a way, you need to reshape. You need to have a makeover and do something else, rather than God-given identity of Eve being the mother of all the living.
Let's talk a little more about that culture of death, because I think the connection you make in your article is absolutely correct. And that is, we have in effect taught women generally through our culture and then through the abortion culture. And there's no doubt that we've had 40 years plus of an abortion culture where women are identified culturally largely with their stance on that issue. What have we taught women about life, the taking of life, and how does that bear upon the necessity of the kind of defense and taking of life that the military has traditionally taken?
Well, I think we've taught women the same thing we've taught all of our young men, that life is not intentional, purposeful, given by God, created by God. And thus, it's not necessarily something to hold in profound admiration and respect and awe, but rather we have taught that were really an accident. You could have just as easily been, as I tell the kids in my conference class, you could have been a rhubarb as easily as you could have been a people if you're, you know, if everything came out differently, if the protoplasm formed itself differently. And so when we A, teach that life is an accident and it's not that important and you're not divinely made fearfully and wonderfully in your mother's womb. And then when we say we can also give you all the contraceptives you'd like starting at a very young age, and we say, yes, explore with the enjoyment part of this, but don't worry about the responsibility part of that. And then we not only advocate abortion, but we even suggest that you lose your independence and your identity if you don't get rid of that unwanted blob of flesh that's growing inside you. And what we have done horribly is work on the other side of that argument and teach about the profound uniqueness and holiness of woman and what she can be and do as a mother and giving life. And we don't really take care of the scars even within our culture. We don't even talk about them that women experience because of the abortions they've had and the high suicide rate, the high infertility rate going forward, the constant depression and struggle that so many, not all, but so many go through with this culture of death that we have foisted upon them. And I think in large part, except, you know, I mean, we have Margaret Sanger, certainly, we have Lawrence Lander, and then we have lots of others, but these things have been enacted by men. And so men haven't protected the womb. Men, you know, largely, if we go back to the Supreme Court, if we go back to our Senate and our House of Representatives, at the time these things have become, they're still predominantly male organizations who have not stood up and said, wait a minute, we need to provide for the sanctity of life. We need to provide for the care and the keeping of women and protect them and watch over them. And so why wouldn't that then permeate our military? Because the military, ultimately, what we do is take life.
I'm very curious about that because, you know, as a vocation, the soldier is kind of the quintessential manifestation of the male protector. And it mm-hmm. has traditionally been that way. And we Lutherans very readily and happily accept the godliness of that vocation of soldier. Can we say, and should we say as a church, that vocation, just as motherhood is unique to the woman, that vocation of soldier who does harm, who takes life to protect, is unique to man?
Well, I think if we're going to speak as God speaks, we'd have to say that's true. I mean, we don't see in the Word of God where that vocation is cast over to women. Although we've seen it in our own world history a few times, in some interesting cultures, it's never given to woman in God's Word. So if we're going to make woman able to do all things, or not even able to, but cast on her the burden of doing all things, with the exception of the short time that man might be involved in conception, which now he doesn't even need to be, because we can do that medically. I think we're working hard on overthrowing the entirety of the counsel of God, where he, for good and faithful reasons, meet right and salutary reasons, God gives vocations that are dynamically different, that help meet of Genesis 2, that complementary counterpart, is an important distinction to retain for so many reasons. And we've overthrown that nearly everywhere in our culture, with, you know, the gender clouding of sorts of things, and certainly with vocational things, we've clouded that. And so it just is a natural outgrowth, unfortunately, within our military. We've done that because where men have failed to protect women in one place, now they can't tell them no in another place. It's like any father who doesn't take care of their children. Well, it becomes at a point in time too late to tell them no anymore. You just kind of continue to capitulate.
What do you think will be the result here? The decision has officially been made that women will now be attached to combat units. And I can't imagine that we won't be facing another serious military encounter someplace in the near future. And I have to wonder when we see not only young men coming home maimed or dead in service of our country, and now young women coming home maimed or dead in service of our country, do you think we will see the mistake that we have made there? Do you think, at least as Americans, we will see that mistake?
I think that the devil has been so profoundly good at blinding the eyes of people through, I don't wish to be a conspiracy kind of a guy, but the control of the media and what it shows, the mainstream media and what it shows, that we won't show those pictures. We won't be seeing those pictures. We've had all but the Marine Corps have already gone to co-ed boot camp. Marine Corps has not done that. We'll be forced to do that or not, but we'll have to in follow-on training. I think before we get to a point where women are being maimed or killed in battle, I think what we'll see is a much greater increase in the casualty rate of men, because the women won't be there. There will be a few, but what will happen, at least what's historically happened in these circumstances, and it's not a negative statement about women, but they get pregnant. And when you're in combat positions, put a couple young people together, this might be the last night you got on Earth, these things happen. And sin rears its ugly head. And so I think that we won't see so much of that, but we'll see the combat readiness of most units degraded to a point where it's very difficult for them to fight, or they'll fight with many fewer because a portion of their people will be gone, and we'll see a much higher casualty rate among our young men because they'll be fighting with fewer, and that won't work well either. But if they do have women in combat and they do show those pictures, I think that what will happen will become a blame game, that we have not provided them with the right kind of training or sufficient training, or that we haven't given them the right equipment, it will never, I don't think the question will be asked. We historically haven't asked the question, did we make the right decision? And unfortunately, when you are not willing to take and look back at yourself and ask, did we make the right decision, then you continue with a bad decision and try to fix it, and that doesn't work.
We'll take another break when we come back. Just a few more minutes with Pastor William Foy talking about women in combat. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Foy is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Valparaiso, Indiana, author of a recent article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Women in Combat. The law has been changed, but the original question must still be answered. Stay tuned.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking women in combat. Pastor William Foy is our guest. Pastor Foy, before the break, you mentioned, in the case of the Marine Corps, mixed gender boot camp. And I just got to get your opinion on this. It seems to me to be a way to desensitize these people to the gender differences and a terrible way to begin your training for the arduous life in the military.
Well, I don't know that they would be desensitized, but rather hypersensitized. If you're all of a sudden now thrown into an environment where women have always been absent, and I can only speak to the Marine Corps training, which is profoundly rigorous and not only physically but mentally demanding. Boot camp is meant to break a young man down from being an independent entity and then being built back up into a piece of a profound machine that can operate effectively to do things that are really not normal for us to do, to go into a place that is very dangerous, to willingly put oneself in harm's way, to sacrifice oneself for other people, other men in this case. To put women into that circumstance now, you are going to absolutely, by necessity, have to change that training. Although there are some women who can physically outdo some men across the board, that's not the case. We have historically seen the reduction of standards, physical fitness standards and other things for women to be able to be in the military service and to serve in certain roles that has to already speak to us of our reduced ability to do the things we're called to do. To put men and women in the same place now where they know they're going to go into combat, we're going to cultivate very early on in these young men a tendency to determine how are they going to best protect these women going into these circumstances, and not so much how are they going to execute the job they're supposed to do. And I think that that'll be disastrous. Men fight for other men. I mean, we talk about fighting for our country, but you're really always fighting for the guy in the foxhole next to you. And that means something entirely different if all of a sudden now it's a woman.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds here, Pastor Foy, you've expressed your pastoral concerns here. It sounds to me that, like you're saying, that at the root of this, what some people would consider just kind of a military policy problem, is the greater theological problem. What is it?
Maleness, men capitulating the role of sacrifice for their wife, their bride, as Christ has for his church. And in that capitulation, then all the abrogations of that come to the fore, where now our wives, instead of our sacrificing for them, we're sacrificing their babies. Instead of fighting for them and protecting them, we're going to let them go forth and do these things for us. And so we find a way to hold our head in shame, but out of the public view, so that we can pretend that we're not being disgraced, but rather we're just giving equal opportunity for something that should never have happened. And if we do not step back into the roles of responsibility, not just authority, but responsibility, and do the things we're called to do, we will be burying our daughters. Not just their children in their wombs, but we'll be burying our daughters.
Pastor William Foy is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Valparaiso, Indiana, former officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and author of a recent article for Steadfast Lutherans titled Women in Combat: The Law Has Been Changed, But the Original Question Must Still Be Answered. You can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Foy, thank you very much for your service, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good day.